Hi, it's Diane, and it is Tuesday, June 12th. I'm here with a noon group with Serena and Jennifer. Let's start with celebrations and check-ins. Who wants to go first?
I can. It's Jennifer. Celebrations. My son, Pat, spent last week at Riverside Military Academy and had a great week, and according to his colonel, had a good time. They didn't have any issues, which just makes me happy.
Love that. And how did he feel about it?
You know, it was funny. We picked him up Friday night, and he was tired. So we went out for dinner, and he's telling us about the week. We got to Tuesday, and then we got on some other topic, probably the Stanley Cup, but anyways. And then and everything that he was saying was positive. Had a great time and met new friends, but then on the way home, he's like, yeah, some people did bully me, and it wasn't that good. They don't like me.
The moderator has left the conference.
Hello.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. I just got disconnected.
That was weird.
Yeah. Did we lose Serena too? Wait, Serena, are you back?
Hello? Yes, now I'm back. I don't know what I pressed.
Okay.
I think I pressed something by accident.
No, I think I got thrown off. And then did you guys lose access? Did we lose Jennifer? Or?
It said the moderator had left, and I heard music. But
right,
so
and then after a while, I finally hung up and tried again. But
yeah,
then
I see you dialed in. You dialed in from another number, Jen.
Huh?
Landline? Did you end up dialing in from your landline?
Yeah, I'm calling on my landline.
Okay. Sorry about that. So I really apologize, Jen. The last thing I heard you say was, and then when we were driving home.
All of a sudden, he's like, yeah, they weren't really nice. They weren't really nice to me. They bullied me. And I'm like, well, where did that come from?
Right.
And he said some other stuff, but we didn't push it. My husband and I didn't push it. Like, oh, that's not right, or, oh, you know, whatever. We just let him say it, and then he hasn't brought it up again. Since then, and we finally, you know, each day we got another day or two description of that day at camp, because, I mean, they did so much. And he hasn't said anything else about being bullied or being picked on or whatever. He did say someone took all the money in his wallet on Wednesday, but that was it, you know. That was the only thing he went back to say negative about it. So I don't
well,
know.
Well, and so So what's your assessment that it was best from his perspective that he's just being quiet about? But you okay?
I don't know. I don't know if he feels like he has to think something that he couldn't have a good time that he wasn't supposed to have. A good time, or what? I don't know. But he hasn't mentioned it again in the other times when we talked about, oh, well, you know, let's pick up where you left off. Let's talk about Friday, what happened Friday or Thursday. So I don't know. If he just feels like he had to, or, you know, just something in his mind thought he was, or, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's, I'm not sure where you're going to want to take aim, but I was just poking a little bit to see if there was something in there to take aim on or not. But why don't you think about it for a minute while I check in with Serena, and then we can figure out from there.
Okay.
Serena, what are you celebrating?
Okay, so this week I'm celebrating that my son washed his. This is going to sound really silly, but that he washed his hair. He took ownership of making sure, and he actually asked for help. He's got really thick, wavy hair, and he likes to keep it long. And he, you know, obviously being outside, and he gets. He's had that lovely essence of boy sweat, but he would just, like, wet the front and not scrub the back, and I would try to give him, like, gentle suggestions of how he could wash his hair. And again, I'm a single mom, and I don't want to, you know, I want to respect his privacy and not go into the bathroom, and he's 12, and he obviously doesn't want me in the bathroom. But on, I think it was Friday night, he said, you know, my hair feels really slimy. And I said, well, Jules, you know, maybe what you could try doing is making sure, you know, you lather, you put lots of shampoo, about a quarter, you know, the size of a quarter in your hands. And he was receptive to, you know, my suggestions. And then I wasn't in the bathroom. I was just calling from, like, outside the door. And then he called me and he said, great, could you help me? So he wrapped himself in a towel. He sat on the toilet and I showed him just, you know, I put the shampoo in my hands and said, yeah, you got to remember you get the 4 points. You got to get the back, the sides, and then, you know, the front. And he let me show him how to, like, scrub. And he actually, I think he liked, because it was, like, a little massage, a scalp massage. But since then, he's been washing his hair. And it look, and he looks clean, which is great. And then this morning, today's his last day of school. He had to go to the eighth grader's graduation. So he had to wear a suit. And usually he'd go with, like, one purple sock, a white gym sock, you know, his dress shoes, shirt hanging out all over the place. But today he was taking, like, a long time upstairs, and I let him, you know, take his time. And then I just said, you know, Jules, I've got to take the dog out for 5 minutes. And he said, okay, I'm just tucking in my shirt. And that, I was, like, completely blown away, like, whoa. And he came downstairs, and he actually, like, looked, you know, he was, like, in one piece and not with the shirt hanging out and, you know, completely disheveled. And he brushed his hair. So that's, like, three celebrations
wow.
today.
Well, no, and he's only 12. Mine still doesn't wash his hair regularly. But the thing that's coming up for me as you're talking is this idea of readiness to learn. And we did a workshop last week for teachers, and we were talking about learning all those things that they teach in, like, third to fifth grade about planning and organizing your schoolwork, and how our kids just are not ready to learn it at the time they're teaching it. So
yeah.
By the time they're ready to learn, nobody's teaching it. And I had a similar experience. I was gone for 5 days, and my kids were home alone. They're old enough to be home alone. But, I had set an expectation about keeping the house reasonably clean and everything else. And I listened. There were dishes everywhere when I got home. And I said to my dad, I said, can you please just go ahead and start the dishwasher? And she's like, she didn't know how to start the dishwasher. And I'm like, I swear I've taught her more than once how to start the dishwasher. But here she was. She was 17 and a half. And, like, was just baffled by the dishwasher. But
right.
I realized it was her readiness to learn. And I think that that's the thing. It's like that sort of, how do you gauge and how do you take advantage of those moments when they are ready, like you did, where it's like, he says, help me. And you're like, drop whatever you're doing and go and show him how to wash his hair in a way that, you know, he can hear. But so I think that's a great thing to celebrate. And, you take what you can get. So tucked in shirt,
yeah.
Wash hair. Congratulations.
Right.
So where are you doing when you think about it?
I struggled to get a shower today.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got senior pictures this afternoon. Please take a shower.
There you go. So, Serena, where do you want to take aim?
Okay. So where I would like to take aim at being able to start a dialogue about the year. Julia, he's been finishing sixth grade, and it's been a very challenging year because he's gotten in his own way. You know, he hasn't tolerated asking for help. He hasn't tolerated anyone helping him. He initially had a tutor in the beginning of the year to work on, like, on his writing skills, and he's a good writer. It's just, he wants to write about what he wants to write, you know, not following the directions, the usual ADD stuff. So I'd like to, you know, after my private coaching call with Elaine last week, there was an issue with the last essay that he didn't follow the directions. The teacher was giving him extra time. And at the end of the, you know, it was the night before it was due, and he just said, I can't do it. I'm done. And it was so hard for me to just say, all right, Jules, I hear you. You're exhausted. It's hard to be motivated at the end of the year. I can see, you know, you're done. You're finished. And that was, you know, I felt bad, but I tried to just sit with it. So in any case, his grades are going to come out soon, and I want to be able to have a dialogue about it in a non-reactive emotional way so that he can start to process for himself, you know, that it, first of all, it's okay to get help. But I realized this year, the biggest aha this year was the buy-in. You know, if he's not into it, he's not going to do it.
So hang on a second.
So
let me just clarify. Are you saying that you want to take aim on the conversation, or do you want to take aim on getting buy-in, or I'm hearing both.
I mean,
of
definitely,
them.
Yeah, yeah, definitely with those things too. But I think for me, I thought like with having the getting curious conversation, I thought that was like one conversation, and then the problem solved, you know, in a nice little clean wrapped up gift box. But I realized, you know, now that might happen over. Of course, it's going to happen. It's a process. So I'm just wondering, how do I start the process? Because I feel like he, with talking about things, you know, with talking about, he doesn't want to talk about it. So I'm just wondering,
okay,
how do I take aim at having him start to open up a little bit?
Okay, so taking
or having
aim
him
on,
tolerate.
Well, and I guess the question is, does he have a hard time with this particular subject, or does he have a hard time opening up generally?
I think he has a hard time opening up generally. Like his teachers say, he keeps people at arm's distance, and it takes him a long time to trust. And that, I think part of that also is emotionally, I had a very turbulent divorce. He had a very difficult relationship with his father, who has his own issues. He's beginning to take medication, take better care of himself now. But I think for that reason, like, trust is hard for him. And I don't know if part of that, like seeing his father struggle, if that's a reason or part of the reason why he doesn't want to be looked upon as weak or having any sort of issue or something. You know, I'm not really sure.
Well, so it sounds like you're already doing some getting curious. So let's stay back with the taking aim for just a minute. And so it sounds like you want to take aim on how to get him to open up, particularly around more difficult conversations like ones about finishing off the semester. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, what about you? Where do you want to take aim?
Don't think I'm ready to tackle school yet. But I think want to take aim on getting him to do things that we asked. I think last time we talked, and I was going to have him look up information on like 3 to 5 colleges, you know, and he hasn't done that. And just stuff like, you know, yesterday when I left home, it's like, can you please clean out the dishes from the dishwasher, and they're just not done. Just how to get him to do chores he's supposed to do.
Well, so is it about I guess this is the question, Jennifer, when you think about where it's breaking down, is it about his buy-in to the summer agreement? Is it about getting him to independently take action on the items that he's agreed to in the summer agreement? You know, where in the process is it breaking down?
I think it breaks down because, I mean, he hasn't regularly been made to do chores. I mean, I tell him to, but then there's time when my husband will, oh, it's okay, I'll do it for you. It's like I keep trying to get him to stop doing that because I think he thinks now, okay, if he just waits, dad'll do it.
Well, so again, that's that sort of thing. So it's like, so do you take aim on, you know, so
aim on
you
my
take
husband.
Aim on your husband, do you take aim on making sure the agreement is clear between the three of you? Do you take aim on helping him to get started? Or, you know, it's just that sort of where do you put the lens? Where do you think?
I think I need to start with my husband first.
So if you were to get agreement from him to not jump in and then went back and reached agreement with the three of you, you'd have a very different conversation because you could say, hey, in the past, I've noticed that sometimes dad jumps in. We've both agreed that we won't do this, and here's why or what, you know, whatever, to kind of keep that follow through. So how does that feel as a place to take aim?
Good.
Okay, cool. All right. So this week we're talking about keeping it simple. And a couple of us, I know Jennifer and I are both done with school for the year. Serena, you're close behind us, I think. But it's that this is a great time of year to kind of figure out kind of how to keep things a little lighter, a little easier. Most of us have just gone through a really crazy end of the school season, and you're about to embark on the end of the school season. And keeping it simple has a couple of components for me. Part of it is about not taking on a bunch of things, which is why, you know, we get really specific about taking aim. We try not to overwhelm ourselves. We try not to overwhelm our kids. But the other aspect of this is really a communication style difference. And I think that that's part of what this paragraph, these paragraphs on this page really talk about, is this distinction of how many times do we, you know, give our, when something happens, we come back and we give our kids a long, long lecture or an explanation or follow up and don't you know that and why don't you think about, and like this is sort of, we talk and we kind of communicate with way too many words. I was thinking about I was traveling this past weekend and we were in a beach location and the signs all said no shoes, no shirt, no service. Very simple, no shoes, no shirt, no service. And I think about, you know, the times when I communicate with my kids and we're trying to get them out the door in the morning when they were younger, it's this sort of shoes, books, now. You know, it's just that sort of don't give them the long, drawn-out explanation, don't give them the long, drawn-out discussion, just really clearly and concisely communicate to them what you need to get their attention. Because I think a lot of times we overdo it and we lose them because our kids wait for the long communication and then they're like, okay, wait, I didn't hear anything you just said, so bottom line it for me, right? And because it's just too much for them to process, and that happens all the time. So it's just really important that we think about the way we communicate and communicate as succinctly as possible and then also come up with ways and strategies that really kind of make our life a little bit more simple. So where are some of the areas for the two of you where keeping it simple could make a big difference?
Well, I think with definitely with communication, because I find Julian now will actually say to me, Mom, can you just tell me one thing at a time? You know, if I ask him to do something, and it's almost like I'm not only communicating to him, but I'm also kind of communicating to myself, you know, so I don't forget what needs to be done. But I'm trying to be more cognizant of, you know, you just asked him to do something, let him carry that out, and then, you know, see if he's ready for the next thing.
So what do you think gets in the way of being able to, so what do you think gets in the way of being able to do that?
I think my own anxiety level. You know, because if I'm in a place of like, okay, this all has to get done, we all have to get out of the house, you know, Julian, I have to get to work by 7:50, he has to get to school by 7:50. So, it's just the my own wheels that are like, okay, this everything has to get done, and how do we just get it done so we can, you know, go on to the next thing.
So you get anxious about it, and then you push to get to the finish line.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes perfect sense because you've got all these things on your plate, and you want to just let's cross them off and get moving on. What do you think you'd need to convince yourself that there's not a fire to be fought?
Right. In terms of, like, strategies for my own stuff, like to modulate my own anxiety level, or in terms of actual
stuff?
Yeah,
so what would you need because it sounds like it's a mindset piece. Yeah, it sounds like it's a mindset piece on the anxiety management.
Like, I mean, I sometimes I journal. I journal all the time, but this summer is definitely about keeping it simple as well. So, you know, I plan on journaling at night. If there's something that I'm thinking I need that needs to get done the next day, just write it down. Because I've found when I do that, it does help my wheels, you know, to slow down, because it's like, okay, you got it on paper, so you don't have to think about that anymore. But, I mean, I write myself post-its. I use my calendar and my phone. I think it now I'm actually in a calmer place because today's his last day of school and he didn't have homework this weekend. It's really a challenge, though, during the week, and especially this year, you know, with this child who just refused help from anyone. And then, you know, like I said, I'm a single mom. I work in a school during the day. I see children after school. I'm a speech therapist. You know, so it's a hard call. You know, I need the money. You know, but then there are times that I was thinking maybe I shouldn't work after school so that I can be home to help him, but then he doesn't want help from me. So, you know, it's just like this vicious cycle of going to sleep really late, being super stressed out and frustrated, and, you know, so, and I don't want to already jump into the next year.
Right, right, right. So how willing are you to consider that part of what's going on is how worked up you are?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, probably like 50% of it. Yes, definitely.
So if you were able to find a way to calm your brain down enough, what would you do differently?
Well, the times that my brain, I see the difference when I'm in a calm place. Because he does, yeah, 100%. I feel like anxiety is contagious. So when I'm worked up, it sends him, you know, we're like on opposite ends of the spectrum. So I mean, going forward, this is, you know, also part of the coaching is excellent and this is amazing support, but it's also working on myself and seeing my therapist. And, you know, I find that is also sometimes I would stop because the schedule would get so crazy, but I realized, you know, and I guess that goes back to taking care of myself first, so that I can be in a clear, you know, level-headed place to be able to help him.
So what's coming up for me is one of the tools we teach in the trigger management, and you're not technically anxiety is a trigger, but it's different because when we think of triggers, we think of getting angry or yelling or whatever else. But I think that what you're describing is sort of you press the alert button, right? So it's like, oh my gosh, this is going on, and this is, you know, right? So that's no different than any other kind of trigger.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, because so then I go he's 12 now, but when he's 25, is he going to be on the couch? Like,
and all of a sudden you're catastrophizing,
you know,
right? Exactly. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how aware are you when you get when that button gets pushed?
I would say it's gotten slightly better, but the awareness, it's hard. In that moment, the trigger, you know, it's very I'm in very much reactive mode, you know, so it's a hard thing for me.
So step number one is always. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
So step number one is always kind of the raising the awareness of the trigger, right? And so paying attention to the situations where you know you're more likely to get triggered, or actually taking this, you know, beginning to notice how that changes in your body, what you notice, and so I would challenge you to kind of really do some exploration and looking at, you know, whether it's a trigger journal where you like write down at the end of the day, what are some of the things that got you worked up? What did you notice? Mm-hmm. You can just kind of raise your awareness. Then once you become more aware, then you can do the rest of it, which is the reclaiming your brain. And then the new story is really what we're talking about here, which is, you know, a willingness to consider that even though there's all this stuff going on, that it's going to be easier if you take it one at a time. Because it sounded like that was the subtle shift you said would help you to stay calm and keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does that resonate?
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. And it also helps the anxiety level.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because when you start to break it down, I'm not trying to fix the universe here. This, I don't need to fix anything. First of all, this is a 12-year-old boy who has to, you know, learn coping skills, and he's going to make mistakes, and he's going to fail, and, you know, that's life.
Yeah. So there's two pieces. One is that the trigger creates the anxiety, and then the anxiety creates the trigger. So it's kind of a loop mm-hmm. on top of each other. So mm-hmm. how do you remember the mantra or the whatever it is that's going to help you to stay calm?
Mm-hmm. I think initially, I would have to get into the practice consistently, you know, like with the whole work stuff starts again next year, I would have to step away and kind of, you know, and it's interesting that you said, you know, like reactivating the brain and getting in touch with your body. I thought that that was just for the children, you know, just for the child.
Mm.
But thinking about it, that it's for me as well, that, like when you said that, that just changed the whole game for me. I was like, oh, wait. That's something I can use. So if I step away and take those deep breaths and get in touch with my body and just what are you feeling right now? And I think that could be helpful to kind of like regrounding myself.
Love that.
In the present moment and not jumping, you know, to 25 years from now.
Stay out of the catastrophe, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So Jennifer, what comes up for you around this idea of keeping it simple? Where do you notice it's hard for you to keep it simple?
I think kind of like Serena said at the beginning, just break out steps of what I want him to do. You know, one at a time, and I sometimes have a problem with, okay, you got that. Now let's go to the next step. And he's like, no, wait, I need to finish writing it down, or I got a question or whatever. And I'm always trying to go quicker than he's able to get everything. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know what pace to take it at?
I have to just really just, I guess, look at him to, if he's writing stuff down, to okay, make sure he's completely stopped writing stuff down. Just really watching his face and seeing, you know, being aware of the look on his face. You know, does he get it? Does he not? Does he, you know, have a quizzical look like, I've got no idea what you're talking about, lady?
So I can hear that you see the value in making sure that he's connecting and getting it. How do you remember to pause enough to do that check?
That's the hard thing, is because I think he ought to be able to go a little quicker than he does, but...
What if that's not true?
I know it's not true that he can't go as quick as I think he should or I want him to. It's just a matter of trying to slow myself down, you know, and have it in my mind that, okay, you've got to go slower. you know, I don't know why I can't grasp that fact that I need to go slower. I guess it's just, you know, I don't know. I guess, you know, in my work and stuff, I'm always go, 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 go. I guess I have a hard time slowing myself down.
Well, and I guess what I'm wondering is how much of this is about following his lead rather than driving the process.
I think I definitely need to take his lead. And that's where I always end up. You know, I've got to slow myself down for that and realize he doesn't have the same pace as I do.
So is that simply about remembering? Is that about managing a trigger? I mean, what do you think? It's kind of tying into what I was hearing Serena say, which is that sort of how do I remember to kind of manage my own reaction to the situation? So how do you remember, you know, how do you stay in that space where you're conscious enough that you don't end up going, pushing your own pace into it?
I don't know. I think the fact that I have yet to learn it in what, the year plus we've been doing this, you would think I would know by now. But
well, hang on a second. I know you. You're about the same age as me. You've had 45, 50 years to create the habits you have, and so, you know, and you've taken aim on a lot of things in the last couple of years, and you've made a huge amount of changes in other areas. What we're talking about here is that transition from you being in the lead to him being in the lead, and as he's going into this senior year, this is the great time to kind of really say, I want to be there and have his back, and I want him to be in the lead.
Totally agree.
Let's fast forward for a second. Let's create a vision, because I think part of it is just kind of even picturing what it would look like. So let's fast forward to schoolwork for a second in the fall. You know, if knowing that he is still having a hard time being in the lead. This isn't a black or white thing. This isn't a Jennifer's driving it or my guy's driving it, right? It's not 100% either, or you're really talking about how to shift it so that he begins taking the lead. And it's about asking rather than telling. It's about holding him accountable. It's about communicating and collaborating. I mean, you've heard all this before, and you're working on all these little pieces of it. What are the things you most want to remember as you're engaging with him during this kind of simple time of the summer?
That, I don't know, maybe it's not worth the rush because, my God, it's his senior year. Where has this time gone? To slow down to his pace, you know, it's okay to go slow.
So if you went his pace this next year, how would that help you to be able to enjoy it a little bit more?
Except for the fact I don't think I'll be able to go to his pace because he's not going to be able to be a slow, easygoing pace. I think I would enjoy it more if we weren't constantly at each other of, oh my gosh, you've got to get all this done. And I think some of it's on me that I want to get all this stuff done before, you know, like senior dues, senior fees, all that stuff. So he doesn't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. And one less thing to deal with that won't be another huge, okay, we got to go do this, got to do this, got to do this.
Right. So wait, so let me pause you for a second, Jennifer, because what you're describing is the habit, which is it's easier to just take care of it and be in charge because the risk of forgetting it is too great. And you know that a year from now, he needs to be able to do some of this stuff on his own.
Right, but...
So there's an in-between here, right? So it's not 100% him in charge or 100% you in charge, but if you can find a couple areas, I mean, yeah, maybe the senior dues and maybe some of these other things that are quick, get it done sorts of things, you take a little bit stronger role in. But if you find one or two areas where you can say, hey, let me let him drive, shift
right.
the energy, not everywhere, but shift the energy in a couple areas, maybe even a couple areas where he really is interested in taking the lead. Find that in-between place. What would that look like?
I think it would work fine if, you know, we were on the same page. Maybe I just need to... We need to get that list going. Okay, here's senior year. Here's what everything needs to get done. You know, this is what Dad and I are responsible for as far as bills go. So we need to make sure these get done. You know, these are on us, but you need to make sure these are done. And when can we... maybe come up with like a schedule. When can we expect these things to be done, or what's reasonable, do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So your first step is to really kind of begin to look at everything and then figure out how to shift the lead on a few things. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to, like, lay everything out on, okay, what's due when, what has to get done.
So, Jennifer, how could you let him take a little bit of the lead? How could you let him take a little bit more of the lead on that process?
I honestly don't think he has any clue what has to be done.
So do you tell him, or do you collaborate with him, or how do you handle that?
I think we'll have to collaborate with them and say, hey, in order, you know, this sounds like a long way away since we're talking May of next year, but in order for this to happen, there's some things that we have to do by these deadlines in order to make it happen, you know, such as pay your senior fees, pay your class dues, you know, which I don't think he even really thinks about. I need to have my list and say, okay, here's what it's this year is gonna, we need to do this year. Let's come up with a plan of when we can reasonably do it.
Okay. So let's go back, because we're getting close to time here. I want to just loop back in. Serena, is there anything else you kind of want to jump in on before we do our wrap-up?
Hi. I'm sorry. I had you in headphones. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I don't think so. I think with keeping it simple, I'm just going to keep it simple and work on, you know, what we were talking about.
So let's do this. Let's do our four questions just to kind of officially close it off. I'm on page 57, and at the end of each of the calls, and I'm doing this mostly because of folks on the recording as well. But the four questions are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to? What's my clarity, a takeaway or an aha? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success? So what I'd love, Jennifer and Serena, just for both of you, kind of at least one aha, and then what your commitment is to action.
And I have from this call in particular.
Yeah.
Or I think the when you were speaking about the strategies with like reactivating the brain, getting in touch with your body, you know, I feel like something that I'm working on is I'm always so focused on my son and what he's doing, what he's not doing, and he's being so focused on himself, but it's like I need to take a look at my face in the mirror and see what I'm contributing to, you know, our interaction. So I think that resonated for me, like being able to take a look at reactivating my brain, taking a step away from the room, you know, and using those strategies that I thought were just for him, but realizing that they're for me too, and that they can help me as well at that. That makes a big difference, or can make a big difference, I think.
Cool. Awesome. So what do you do to turn that into action?
I'm going to be consistent about journaling and using strategies for myself with post-its and what have you, in terms of, you know, with things that I feel like I need to get done. But I think also keeping it simple, what must urgently get done by the next day, not everything needs to get done, realistically speaking. If I don't, get the rabbit's fluffy stuff for his cage tomorrow, what's going to happen? His cage might be stinky, but it's not going to, you know, the world isn't going to end as we know it. So I think, like, prioritizing so that I can keep things simple and not drive myself as crazy will help as well. So I think doing so the journaling, keeping perspective, simplifying as much as possible. Also the way that I communicate with Julian. I don't need to give so much information, you know, simple mm-hmm. directives. And also staying engaged and present with him, you know, looking, you know, you said earlier, looking for, you know, those cues. Is he looking at me? Is he finished? You know, instead of having my head in the clouds of running a mile a minute, trying to get stuff done, you know, being more present, you know, is important too. Especially at this juncture that he's, you know, he's 12 and moving on to very difficult teenage waters.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So, Jennifer, what about you?
I think, you know, need to slow down my mind, my talk, and just be real intentional on what our conversation is, you know, what I have to convey, and think really hard about what I'm saying to make sure that I convey that message. And action step, I think it's a good idea to get a list of everything that needs to happen between now and next May, even though I can't believe I'm saying this, and have him realize or know what has to be done and when time frames are. So he can make, even if it's stuff that we're going to be paying for, or like his grandmother wants to buy him a class ring, but she's only going to offer that for so long, he needs to remind himself to get the order form, you know, whatever. Just so he has, so we, everything's laid out so he can see what exactly needs to be done, you know, sort of behind the scenes to make graduation happen next year.
How does that feel as a concrete plan?
The fact that he's graduating next year?
No. The getting going on the figuring out those steps and what needs to happen and everything.
I think it's fine because I need to, for me, be able to know what needs to get done so I don't have anything drop. You know, just so I need to do it for myself as well. So I think it can be done.
Okay. Well, and I think that that's the piece of it is that sort of, you know, keeping it simple. I think that it, both of you are talking about situations that can really easily kind of throw you into future shock, right? And so just kind of noticing the trigger, noticing, you know, kind of how you're handling the situation and taking a breath or taking a time out and kind of staying on top of that. Feels like there's a lot of parallels for both of you in this, in the situations you're describing today. So I like that connection.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So because there was some confusion about times today, I want to make sure everybody knows when the next call is. So the next PSS call is in 2 weeks. It's on June 26th. And we will talk to you then.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.